Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. Her personal motto is, everything comes to me easily and effortlessly. Wow, can I borrow that? Jessica Labby, our co-host, says her personal motto is, focus on the end result. And then there's Mike, our producer, who likes to say, I've been to the puppet show, and I've seen the strings. Put these three together, and anything can happen. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about core eating. This is part two, and we're discussing Michael Pollan's new book, Food Rules, an Eater's Manual. He's the guy who wrote Omnivore's Dilemma, which was listed as one of the top 10 books by the New York Times and the Washington Post. And his newest book, Food Rules, is an excellent manual for the basics of how to eat better. So we talked about the seven simple words, and they were eat food, not too much, mostly plants. We've talked about the importance of eating food or eating whole, real food versus biochemistry created food concoctions.
Things in a box.
Better living through chemistry.
So the second question is, what kind of food should I eat? And the answer is mostly plants. You know, and I've read in several different places that a diet consisting of 80% vegetables is the healthiest diet.
I've read that too in many different books.
I don't eat enough vegetables, that's for sure.
And 80%, how would you do that?
Which I know.
I have figured it out, and I've had times in my life. Well, what you're doing is you're having basically salad for lunch and dinner with a protein source on top.
Yeah.
And salad with,
but the way people eat salad in America, I mean, don't they trash it anyway? I mean, with dressing and
bacon and
croutons and all that stuff.
Well, and the key would be to make your own dressing and to have a lot of different vegetables in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, in countries where people eat a pound or more of vegetables and fruits a day, the rate of cancer is half of what it is in the United States. And they consume far fewer calories.
We're hitting the salad bar after the podcast.
And everybody's looking for a cure.
Right. Instead, we talked about this the last podcast. Instead, we're looking for what's the magic nutrient? It's not. It's just eat real whole food. You know, and whether or not you decide to become a vegetarian is not the point of this podcast. But something notable is vegetarians are proven to be healthier than carnivores or people who eat meat. And it's been proven that they live longer. And one thing that you could consider is instead of eating meat 2 to 3 times a day, try it more like 2 to 3 times a week and see how your body does. Here's another great idea, a way to eat more fruits and vegetables. Keep them at eye level in the refrigerator and keep them on your counter.
I say buy a Vitamix and just shove it all in and blend it and drink it on your way to work.
That does help because the Vitamix keeps the fiber, which is good. You know, mm-hmm. We have a big wooden bowl on our counter, and I always have kiwi, mango, oranges, apples, and bananas.
Yeah, Elizabeth does that too. There's always apples or bananas there. So I do grab them. You know what I mean?
If they're there, you'll eat them.
Yeah.
If they're in a drawer inside the refrigerator, probably not so much.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, and I find that with the kids too. If I keep, say, the carrots at eye level in the refrigerator, they're going to open the refrigerator, and that's what they see. So they'll eat them. So I think that's good advice.
What a great marketing ploy in your home, Jennifer.
That's right. I also have a special shelf that's just for the kids with healthy food on it, so they know they can eat any of that food anytime they want. So here's some great tips. Shop the perimeter of the supermarket and stay out of the middle as much as possible. And hopefully you've heard this before. This is something that's been great advice for many years. You know, I'll walk into, say, Stop and Shop, and I'll start on the left, hit the natural food aisle, go to the back, hit the deli, wrap around to the fruits and vegetables. And if I go into the middle of the store, it's literally just to peek my arm in and grab the paper towels and come right back out.
I was going to say, you do need toilet paper occasionally.
Yes. Yes. Think of it as just, you know, quickly getting your hand in the middle of the store and coming back out. And here's the second thing is primarily attempt to buy food that does not have packaging. You don't have to worry about ingredient lists if you're buying foods that don't have ingredient lists. much better for you. You know, a potato is just a potato. There's no added chemicals or preservatives. And the last one is eat only foods that will eventually rot.
No preservatives.
You know, and to do that, you have to go shopping more often. So that's just a good thing to accept. Mm-hmm. Your food's going to be fresher and healthier. You know, and ideally, you just get out of the supermarket as much as you can.
Well, if you can think, this is, you know, how I try to think as much as possible is whenever I'm putting something in my mouth, I think, how is this going to benefit my body?
Right.
You know, what is it going to do for me?
No, we've done the past couple of years, we joined a farm share.
Yes.
So, you know, you pick up this massive amount of vegetables every week and, you know, you don't want to let it go to waste. So it kind of forces you to eat more vegetables.
That's right. That's
you know?
Right.
And I feel so much better about eating the farm food than I do about supermarket.
And you're supporting your local farmers.
And they last longer.
And it tastes better.
Mm-hmm. Totally different.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
When I come home with the vegetables, I'll put them in a big bowl right on the counter for the first day or two just to remind me they're there. And to I'll try to clean them right away and just have them ready. And then there's farmer markets. There's more and more farmers markets.
Lots around here.
And you can always have your own garden, whether it's just a potted plant garden or, you know, dig up your soil.
Yep.
Great idea. Okay, here's some more great tips. First one is eat a variety of colors. Have you ever done that? You make a salad and you purposely try to figure out how to get every color into the salad?
Yeah, stay away from anything beige.
Right. Well, the colors of many vegetables, they actually reflect the different antioxidant phytochemicals, which again, that's biochemistry. But what it means is you're protected against different types of chronic diseases when you have a variety of color in your diet. So that's just a good rule is you're making pasta, you're making a salad, and you're putting vegetables in it, or even a sandwich. How many different colors can you get into it?
And you're lowering your chances of having to stand in line at the drugstore.
That's true.
Yeah, that's good.
That's going to save you money. The next tip is eat sweet foods as you find them in nature. So if you think about it, in nature, sugars almost always come packaged with fiber. So think of, say, an orange or strawberry. And what happens is the fiber slows down their absorption. So your body's going to digest it better. It gives you a better sense of satiety, meaning you feel more satisfied before you've ingested too many calories, which is really the key. And that's why you're always better off eating the fruit rather than just drinking its juice. Which brings me to the last tip is make water your primary beverage. Did you know that humans are one of the very few mammals that obtain calories from liquid after weaning?
That's so sad.
Isn't it? So if water is your primary drink, you're going to be healthier for it.
Absolutely.
And water is the best anti-wrinkle defense, I think.
Oh, because hydration, sure. Yeah. That makes total sense. It's time for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how should we eat.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Welcome back, everybody. Next question. How should I eat? Remember the seven simple words, not too much. That's the last part of the seven words. How should I eat? Not too much. You were talking about the Italian diet in the last podcast.
Yes.
Let's talk about the French diet. Okay. You know, there's a lot of fatty foods and a lot of red wine with the French diet. But yet they're healthier, they're slimmer, and they actually live slightly longer
than
Americans. You know what's different? They have a completely different relationship with food than we have. They seldom snack. They eat small portions from small plates. They don't go back for second helpings. They eat most of their food at long, leisurely meals, and they share it with other people.
When I was in France, I thought the food was really gross, so I really didn't eat much of it. And so Maybe that's how I stayed healthy when I was there.
Yeah, you don't see too many buffets in France.
No, it's a different relationship. You think about the average relationship we have with food here is it's on the road, stopping through a drive-thru, eating it in your car, eating standing up. You know, there's not even that many families that have sit-down meals.
Not anymore.
And if you do, it's fast. We're on deadlines. We have to hurry. What's the fastest way to eat? What's the quickest meal to make? Not necessarily, you know, really preparing a full meal where you actually cut the vegetables or you bake.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And we don't really, unfortunately, we don't have the luxury as easily as other cultures of slowing down to eat.
Right.
Well, here's some tips to help you foster a healthier relationship with food. The first one is pay more and eat less. You know, you think about this. People talk about restaurants and why they like or don't like a restaurant. And you'll often hear, oh, it was a great restaurant. They give you so much food. You know, and I remember years ago in the town I used to live in, there was this new, really high quality gourmet restaurant. And I remember people saying, oh, don't go there. They, for the money, you hardly get any food.
Yeah, but it's quality food.
Right.
Yeah.
So this American food system we have, it values quantity over quality, and that's part of the problem. You know, organic food does cost more, but it's because it's been grown and raised with more care.
Right.
And more time. And one thing I find interesting is Michael Pollan says in his book, not everyone can afford to eat well in America, which is a literal shame, but most of us can. Americans spend less than 10% of their income on food, less than the citizens of any other nation.
Not me. I spend too much money on food, and my husband reminds me of it every week.
You probably still spend more on shoes, though, I bet.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But we value it.
That's
right.
You
know, it's putting more of a value on food. And if that higher quality food tastes better, you're probably going to need less of it, and you're going to feel more satisfied and be healthier for it.
That's right.
So the second great tip is, I know this is unwelcome advice, but eat less. Did you know that restricting your calories repeatedly has been shown to slow aging?
I've read that.
Yeah, I don't eat a lot anyway.
Well, and we tend to eat much more than our bodies need to be healthy.
Yep.
And, you know, that just wreaks havoc. You know, and not just our weight, on our actual health. And the key is not just to stop eating before you are full, stop eating when you are no longer hungry. See the difference there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, eat when you're hungry. Not when you're bored or anxious or sad.
People eat for different reasons.
And I love the French idea of using small plates. We've adopted that in our home, and it's amazing if you just have a slightly smaller actual plate and you don't go back for seconds, you'll eat less. And here's something I really struggle with, but I'm trying to, is leave something on your plate. You know, I grew up in a family where you not only finished your plate, but you grabbed that last piece of bread and you wiped it around your plate to get any juices, and then you ate the bread. Yes, leave something on your plate. That's so hard for me to do sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
Last great tip is eat slowly. The slower you eat, you give your stomach time to catch up to your brain, and you'll be more likely to know when to stop.
That's where I have to work hard.
Me too. I'm the fastest eater in the world.
No, I am.
Well, is that a challenge?
Well, and if you eat slower, you'll need less food to feel satisfied, you know, and just allow yourself to savor your food. Make it more of an experience. That's what the French do. Slowing down really helps everything. It helps digestion. It helps your attitude, energy. One thing that helps me is I try to put my fork down between bites.
Step away from the plate.
And then, of course, just sitting down at the table.
Yeah.
Without distractions, other than maybe conversation. And then lastly, we just need to break the rules once in a while.
You know, what does that mean?
If we obsess over food, it is a general rule long term, it can be bad for your happiness and probably your health. Because you think about people who are all bent on dieting and worrying about food, it becomes too nutrition focused, and long term, we're not going to necessarily be healthier or slimmer. You know, people who just are always on a diet, always obsessed, always concerned, and
they don't seem that healthy to me. Actually,
no.
We need to make smart choices while we cultivate a relaxed attitude toward food. That's really important. And what matters is not necessarily the special occasion, but the everyday practice. So not getting down on ourselves for enjoying a holiday dinner.
So have that cake, Jessica.
One of my favorite quotes that I've come across in Michael Pollan's book is by Oscar Wilde. And he says, everything in moderation, including moderation. Mm. That's good. Well, and lastly, I wanted to let the listeners know that what I did was on our podcast site, you will find Dr. Jennifer's nutrition lists, where I list the top 10 ingredients to avoid, the top 8 healthy foods, the 12 most important foods to buy organic, and the 12 least important foods to buy organic.
Dr. Jennifer takes care of us, doesn't she?
That's right. We can print that and bring it to the grocery store with us.
There you go.
Perfect. And then ideally, stay away from the grocery store and go to a farmer's market.
True.
That's it, guys. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.